Experience a coffee journey like no other with Spirits of Coffee. From hand roasting their premium beans to perfection, to aging them in a variety of carefully selected barrels, every step is meticulously crafted to bring you the ultimate coffee experience. Whether you prefer a bold, smoky profile or a smooth, velvety blend, Spirits of Coffee roast their beans to your exact specifications, ensuring that every cup is tailored to your taste. Indulge in the rich, nuanced flavors of Spirits of Coffee's barrel-aged coffees. From the bold complexities of their Brazilian barrel-aged beans to the refined elegance of their bourbon barrel blend, each sip is a symphony of flavors carefully curated to elevate your coffee experience to new heights. Head to spiritsofcoffee.com to place your order and join them embracing the art of coffee drinking with Spirits of Coffee. Use the code TASTEMASTERS10, that's right, TASTEMASTERS10, at checkout to enjoy 10% off your order and taste the difference for yourself. Don't just trust us, go ahead and try. With Spirits of Coffee, every sip is an adventure. Trust us when we say this will blow you away. Step into Keto's Brewing and immerse yourself in a world of impeccable craft brews and infectious positivity. With pinball machines aplenty and a welcoming atmosphere, every visit is an experience to cherish. And rumor has it, the beer at Keto's is better than ever. Each sip is a testament to their dedication to quality and innovation. Prepare your taste buds for a journey you will not forget. Whether you're seeking a midweek pick-me-up or a weekend relaxation, Keto's Brewing is here for you every single day. Come on by and experience the magic for yourself. Don't miss out on the vibes, the brews, and the memories waiting to be had at Keto's Brewing. See you guys there. You're listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, I am here at one of the prettiest, what do you call this, location?
Yeah.
Destinations? Yeah.
Destination location.
Eight Settlers Distillery with my dear friend Dylan. Dylan, what's up, brother?
Not much, man. Just trying to make whiskey as best as possible.
Man, well, you have. So let's start on that. So congratulations are in order. So last year you brought back 4 medals, was it?
We did, yeah. Yeah,
from what competition was that?
The Beverage Testing Institute.
So how put this into perspective for me in beer, like World Beer Cup is like the Super Bowl of all,
right?
But then GABF is like the Super Bowl for like the America,
right?
Right. So what do you, that competition would be like in two?
So I think the big one is in San Francisco. The Whiskey Advocate puts it out in their magazine.
But is it called the Whiskey Advocate?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, Whiskey Advocate magazine. But there's also Wine Enthusiasts. We've also entered those. I think I told you we entered some into those. And then the Beverage Testing Institute is another competition that it means something when you get a medal from them. I mean, there's a million competitions out there.
Sure.
And basically, like, you pay into it. You know, they charge you a certain amount to give you a rating. And some are good, some are bad. The Beverage Testing Institute is one that is good. Whiskey Advocates is good, and then Wine Enthusiasts is another good one.
So Wine Enthusiasts for spirits.
Yeah, they do spirits as well. So they put out a magazine every year. I shouldn't say every year, you know, every quarter, whatever they do. And they give you your full paragraph rating. They kind of put you into a section, like our vodka got a pretty good score from them.
It's a 93, right?
93 from them, yeah.
Man.
Which is good. I mean, it's a gold. We're going for platinum next year, hopefully.
So is that above 95?
Yeah, above 95 is
platinum. Is it like 96 to 100 is platinum,
yeah,
and 90 to 95 is gold?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a 93 with that.
Yeah, we got a 93. Yeah, so we were really proud of that because our vodka is, you know, it's our most difficult product to make. I mean, it's a bourbon mash bill, but it's a lot goes into the process. Those of you who distill know vodka is a pain.
Yeah, you were saying it's pretty meticulous downstairs. You were talking about how...
Yeah, and I always compare, like when I go visit distilleries or, you know, breweries, if they offer a vodka that they make in-house or they have their distillate, they do like a white whiskey, I always go straight for that.
Why is that?
Because you can... So vodkas are kind of like brewer's pilsners.
Gotcha.
In my opinion. It's hard to hide your mistakes in a pilsner, in a vodka. Because, like, you know, if you do a really heavily hopped beer or a really, you know, you go deep into the chocolate malts, you can kind of hide some of the flaws, maybe fermentation flaws, packaging flaws, whatever it may be. I feel like with a Pilsner, with a vodka, it's so crisp, so clean. People know what those beers taste like. People know what vodka is supposed to taste like. And they might not know what a triple milkshake IPA is supposed to taste like.
Sure.
Like they go to a brewery, they try it. That's their rendition of it. But when you drink a spirit that's so traditional like vodka, or a beer so traditional like Pilsner, it's tough to stray away from the norm, but still, you know, implement your own taste and flavor profiles.
So the vodka you're making, are you doing it all grain?
Yeah.
Or are you doing neutral grain spirits?
It's all grain.
So you're not buying, you know.
Not for my vodka, nope.
Wow.
Nope. So it's 80% corn, 20% malted barley.
So that love is not, wow, damn. So you're not making like these, not Tito's, but like, yeah, like a Tito's. You're not making like these big name, like just easy.
Buy GNS, run it through your still. You know, and a lot of guys do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I just, you know, if vodka is something that we can make and put out immediately, unlike whiskey, where, you know, you start a whiskey distillery, whiskey's tough because when you go ahead and figure out your mash bill, you go ahead and distill it, especially on a brand new system, you don't really know how good it's going to be for like 2 minimum for a straight, but it could be like 6 years you're going to crack that barrel open. Yeah. And then you've invested all that time and money and the whiskey's terrible.
Oh God.
So that's why sourcing is
that'll keep me up at night, dude.
So that's why sourcing is something that's been a thing, because you can put out a decent whiskey as you open up while you're working on your own. I never thought
of it in that avenue. Interesting.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, these places are essentially money pits, whiskey distilleries. I mean, you're dumping so much time, so much effort, so much money,
that
utilities.
Real estate.
Yeah, and you don't know if it's going to be good. I mean, if you've been doing it for a while, you have an idea. And that's what I meant by like a brand new system. Like you walk into a new place, new still, different style fermenters, maybe new yeast strains, different environment, different aging environment. Maybe you changed cooperage brands. You know, they do vary. So you don't really ever know what it's going to taste like. And each barrel tastes different. That's where, you know, it's where blending comes in.
That's where you guys, as distillers, have, I would think, for me, it's like high anxiety and high patience.
Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about this last time. Like, I pace in the distillery.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, like I pace because it's funny. Like, you know, the owners, they always ask, you know, is it going to be good? It's going to be good. And deep down inside, you don't know. But you've put everything that you know that you've done. I've been doing this for 11 years now. So it's, I have an idea of what it's going to be like, but there's so many variables.
Oh man.
Like you just don't ever
know.
And
some you can't control. Most you can't control.
Right.
As soon as it gets out of your brewery or distillery, it's like,
Yeah. I mean, it's a little easier. So like, you know, getting onto the, once it leaves your doors, it's a little easier for me because whiskey keeps longer. You guys in the beer world, it's kind of up to your distributor or whoever's dealing with it to make sure that it's staying at proper temp. You know, what if it's in a can, you know, we don't really deal with bottles too much anymore, but is it sitting in sunlight? Is it just being baked in the back of a truck?
And that's hard because I don't know. It's like when you ship something to FedEx and it's fragile.
Yeah.
Is it actually going to be taken care of or are they kicked around? I don't know.
You don't know. So that's like where it's easier for me because once it's in that bottle, I mean, it'll keep for years and years as long as the cork seal's right. I mean, I don't have to worry about that. Obviously, like, you know, intense heat and sunlight will change most spirits, but I don't have to worry about it like you guys do. But yeah, variables like that. And I feel like if you're a small brewery on the West Coast and you don't have like a East Coast production facility and you want to start distributing in North Carolina or Delaware, even up in New England, like that beer travels a long way.
Good luck, man.
And are they using reefer trucks? I don't know.
And then how long is it, you know, from the reefer truck sitting outside of a certain temperature and to get to a cooler, if it does get to a cooler?
Right.
Yeah. So for craft beer in Utah, I've noticed if I see a beer on the shelves, like if I go to Harmon's a lot for beer.
Yeah.
And if I see a beer that's over there, been on the shelf for over a year, it breaks my heart, man.
Oh, yeah.
Breaks my heart. So, but liquors, you could do this. I mean, spirits are different.
Yeah,
you
can, they could collect dust on the shelf for
years. You actually want a whole lot. I mean, I still have the Last of the Devil's Gate from...
Oh, nice.
I won't touch it because like, I'm like, what am I going to be back there over there?
Yeah. And, you know, once you open it, it does tend to oxidize for good and for worse. I mean, Once I open a bottle, I intend to drink it within a certain time period. And say you open up a special bottle and you don't want to drink it immediately. Like maybe you have your buddies come over and you drink together and that might not happen for another 3 or 4 months. And, you know, there's only a quarter of a bottle left. Just move that into a smaller vessel to get rid of that headspace.
Interesting.
So you can keep it longer. So yeah, pour it into, you know, a smaller sealable vessel to kind of get rid of that air.
Just put it in your flask.
Yeah. It's just sitting in stainless steel. That's what I do.
Stainless steel. So you recommend stainless steel?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think a lot of flasks are made out of pewter. I don't know how pewter affects spirits on a molecular
level. That word sounds awful.
It does. Right? Yeah, it does.
So I feel like it's going to be awful for the liquor.
Always stick with 18-8 stainless. We know it's safe. There might be some lead in it. We don't know, but
it's okay. You won't die, maybe.
Yeah, you won't die.
I love that. So then you, last time we talked was what? I want to say 3 years ago? Two and a half years ago?
Yeah, I think holy cow, dude. 2021.
It's like the beginning of 2021, like right after 2020.
Yeah.
And Jason was still here. Jason got a new help.
Yeah.
When did Jason leave?
Jason left in 2000, like late 2021. He was only around for like a year, year and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
How's that cat doing?
He's great. Like I said, I just talked to him a couple days ago, and he's down in Texas working on a Sotol distillery. He's doing some sort of consulting for people. He's working on another distillery up in, Muskegon, that's where he's from. Up in the UP somewhere. I don't know the name of the
town. That's so cool.
Yeah. So he's working on that, and he has a regular boring lab day job outside of the spirits industry.
Damn. That cat's just like the free spirit.
He is.
He's just he's a rad dude.
Yeah, he is. So he's still bouncing around doing spirit things.
Good. Then you hired someone, yeah?
I did. Jacob. Jacob came from Grid City.
Grid City.
From Jeremy, yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy Gross, who also was a previous distiller, right? Or worked in the High West area.
Yeah, and before that he worked at UNA. He was at UNA. He bartended at High West for years. That's how I knew him. Mm-hmm. And then, he opened up Grid City around the same time we opened up this place.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little before we did. We actually just gave Jeremy a couple. We gave him a bourbon barrel and a rye barrel.
Nice.
Yeah, they're on display at his brewery if you go. Jacob should have stenciled the barrels. I don't know.
I hope so. We'll go do it right now.
Yeah, he put some beer in some of our old bourbon and rye barrels, so that's some good stuff to come.
What are you doing with your old barrels, by the way, speaking of that?
So I fill them up with malt whiskey that I make here, but I'll sell them to brewers. I'll sell them to the general public, people that want them. We do hold back on a lot of our barrels for our own uses, but I do have an excess. I mean, they're just big containers that take up a bunch of space, and they don't keep that long. You want to put liquid in them.
Yeah.
They fall apart. So I try and immediately figure something out, whether I sell them to a brewer or I fill them back up.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to fall apart.
Are you thinking about bringing in some cool barrels?
Yeah. Yeah. And I brought in some wine barrels, but I'm looking to do some spirit barrels, maybe some agavit barrels, old gin barrels, rum barrels, and do some secondary finishes on stuff like that.
There's this cool Brazilian wood called Ambarana. You heard that one?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. So people have been using it with beer. And I don't know what the legality is with it, but we're judging a beer competition a couple months ago, and Rob, homebrewer in Utah, famous homebrewer, in the community, he's well known. Anyway, he put one of his stouts inside of this barrel, or put chips. I don't know how he did it, but this Ambarana gave off like coconut, toasted marshmallow.
Oh, nice.
But it wasn't like that gross sugary.
Yeah.
But like, it was the essence of it.
Yeah.
And it had, man, it was the most complex wood flavored beer I've ever had, and it was beautiful.
Barrels are fun. You can get different parts of the world have different flora. They have different environments.
I feel like we haven't touched them all, man. Like, there's so many out there.
And I'm gonna actually look it up right now, because there's this. They're super expensive. They're from Japan. It's Japanese oak.
Japanese oak.
They're super expensive.
I want to put a rice oak. Japanese rice lager in there. That's just automatically where my mind goes.
Right. Yeah. Mizunara, I'm probably butchering that word, but that's the style of oak that they're using over there. I don't know if that's like what Neek is using, or Yamasaki. I'm not sure, but that's like the new kick for exotic barrels.
Is that the sexy thing right now? That's the
sexy thing. They're like $2,000 a barrel, though.
Good God.
Yeah.
Used too, right?
No, they're brand new. You can buy them brand new. Yeah.
Thank God.
Wow. I mean, I don't know what those taste like, the brandy world, like using Limousine oak barrels from the Limousine forest in France, like a lot of the Cognac and Armagnac, that wood gives off a certain flavor that no other oak will. And that's why straight bourbons in the US have to be American white oak, because you're not going to get that flavor from that American white oak that you're going to get from Hungarian oak or French oak or even these fancy.
I like the French oak.
Me too.
It's got that.
Yeah. It's the,
there's nuance to it that just excites me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got some crazy tannins to it, and it's got that special, almost like a dry flavor to it, as opposed to like a really sweet American white oak barrel.
Because like I'm okay with the sweet, but I like that drier finish. Like when it comes to ciders, wines, I'm more of that, semi dry to dry.
Yeah,
that's for me. That tastes that grape.
Yeah,
And that's why I like dry beers too. Because I finish it, just finishes better.
It's especially just easier to drink for me.
It is. Like those crispy boys, like the drier the better.
Dry beer. And yeah, you can get that. Like if you age the exact same, call it bourbon whiskey, from same batch, same distillate, from the same run, and you say you got 106 gallons to barrel, you put 53 gallons in that American white oak, and then you put 53 gallons in that French oak, they're going to taste completely different. I mean, it's like they say, I think 60, 70% of the flavor comes from the barrel.
Yeah. So then if you side by side, it'd be different.
Yeah.
Then blending it's even more of a...
Oh, yeah. That's a whole new realm. You could go crazy with the blend ratios of how you want to do it.
How does blending go in your mind? Like, talk us through blending.
So I, you know, you have to have a good idea of what each of them tastes like. And what I do, it's different for like, if you want to do it for production, because you have to think about longevity of your product. So say you have like this whiskey that's delicious. It's amazing. You want to use it as a blending component, maybe a heavier blending component in one of your products, but it's kind of rare. So the whole goal is to put the max percentage in that you can still have an effect, but not use it all up immediately. So like you're just going to run out eventually. Mm. But honestly, I just, in my mind, I think of what I want this whiskey to taste like, and then I'll do like 10 or 11 different blends at different ratios at different proofs.
Oh, so you like kind of test it yourself.
Yeah. And then I kind of just go from there and we just narrow down to one.
So for me, I feel like you have to have that final, what you want.
Yeah.
And then you have to work yourself backwards.
Yep.
And you do that with testing.
That's really cool. That's, you know, that flavor profile is in my brain.
In the old noodle.
In the old, it's tough too, because like when you're like, not really with Jacob, but it was mostly with Jason, we were talking about like what these whiskeys should taste like after we blend them. And like, I was getting upset. I couldn't like relay exactly what I wanted because I didn't even know. It was just a thought in my brain.
But your palate knew.
Yeah, my palate knew. And that's like, with blending, you can literally put your thoughts into a glass. That's like kind of the magic of it. And I'll even distill things to be blending components in the future. Like,
It's like, I know this will be nothing but for blending.
Yep. And it might not be good on its own. Like, you know, putting a really delicate, sensitive malt whiskey in a brand new number 4 charred American white oak barrel. I mean, that will be intense. Malt's a really delicate spirit. You usually age traditionally in a used wine barrel, used bourbon barrel. But if you want to do a malt whiskey and you want to add some like depth and mouthfeel to it, I feel like adding a certain percentage of that new oak to the used oak.
Man, that's fun.
It Holy can really hell. Kick off. Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, if you want to use this blending component, it's delicious. You don't have a lot of it. So you just do the smallest percentage, and then you work your way up to where you can start tasting it, and then you have to scale it for the next, like, 2 years.
Damn.
Like, can I use
a lot
this?
Of math you have to do, man.
Yeah, it's all ratios. I remember sitting in math class, and like, yeah. I'm never going to use
Fuck this.
I am never, ever. This is so stupid.
And now it's your career.
Yeah, now I'm like, shit.
I thought that, because I've been, you know, a lot of recipe development is math.
It is.
You know, and sometimes when you're on the brew deck or you're trying to do some fermentation calculations, yeah. It's all about, like, pitch rates and everything. Same thing.
The whole thing,
and
man.
You could jeopardize so much.
You could. All percentages and ratios, like all the shit I did not want to pay attention to.
You kick yourself in the back, like, why didn't you pay attention?
Yeah. And I remember, yeah, and I still use my TI-84, my calculator.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's like,
I use my iPhone, homie.
People make fun of me. Well, yeah, I like it because it saves all your work.
Oh, sick.
You know, on the iPhone, you like type in on the calculator, it like just goes away and you're like, shit, what
you're
was
right.
It? Yeah. So that's why I still use it. I can like
Smart man.
Save all my stuff.
Smart man.
And it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, it's a whole bunch of math I never thought I'd use. And I remember them saying, too, you're never going to have a calculator in your pocket. It's like, I use a calculator all
every
the time.
Day, every all day. All the time. Yeah, because like now your watches are calculators, too.
Yeah.
And that's super fun to see that.
Yeah.
So then when you're blending, are they giving you free range here to blend?
Yeah, big
you're,
time.
You're doing it just fine.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then do you have, because you have your three, you have the gin.
Uh-huh.
Then you have your bourbon.
Uh-huh.
Then you have your house whiskey.
Yep.
And your vodka.
Yep.
So then you have like special releases too?
Yeah, yeah. And we have some here today if you want to taste them. You want to get into some of them?
Yeah, I'm down.
So I did get some wine barrels from Hell's Canyon Winery. It's like a little bit north of Boise from what I remember. And I got some rootstock Chardonnay and Cap Franc. And I put bourbon and rye whiskeys. We'll start with the...
So is this how your mind, like walk us through this. This is an example of how your blending mind works, correct?
Yeah. So I'll start, I have a base whiskey, I want to use. And this is just a really, really spicy rye whiskey. And I kind of think of what kind of, when I'm searching for barrels, like what would go good with that and what might not go good with it. And for some reason I thought like a really spicy straight rye whiskey could do well with like a really oaky, buttery Chardonnay. Cause they kind of have their own opposites, but they could blend well together.
Hmm.
So like we got like a lot of killer like honey off of this. Like, you know, when you have honey that's like from the mountains.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like from.
Like honeybees, like honeycomb.
Yeah. Like just like really you can kind of taste the environment in that honey. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we got with this. And it's, I mean, it was killer. I never thought Chardonnay would do good. Like a white wine would do good with such a spicy whiskey. But
spice and buttery kind of go hand in hand.
Right. Yeah. So it ended up being amazing. It ended up, I like it better than a lot of these red wine finishes where it's like you can, it's got a really cool color to it too. I don't know if you can tell. It's like a weird.
It's like a light caramel, but like burnt caramel.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you taste it, you'll kind of get like...
These glasses are dope, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they're nice, aren't they? Yeah. These are the ones I use for tasting off the still. I just grab a big old wine glass.
Wine glass.
And just, yeah, taste it. But, and again, like, I had no idea how this was going to taste when I was filling these barrels up. And I had them keep all the lees in, which was kind of... I didn't realize it was going to be that much lees. Because I filled a lot of wine barrels before and, you know, previous blends. But there was, like... 5 gallons of lees left in this.
Holy cow.
It was a lot. And she's like, you want me to rinse them or empty lees? And I was like, no, let's leave the lees in. I want all that. I want all the goodness in there. And like, we blew through filters trying to filter.
Oh God, dude.
Yeah. But it's worth it. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like we did get some good flavor off of it.
You got like a,
it's
to me, this has got a wine nose for real.
Yeah. No, you definitely, you do.
As cliche as it sounds. I mean,
I know.
Like but then it has like a white on the nose only. It's like a whiskey, that whiskey burn, that typical whiskey.
And I don't
holy
know if
cow.
You get what I mean, but like you get that like really spicy, like mountainous honey. And it's just good.
Cause like, I mean, you can't, can you smell sweetness? I mean, you can smell sweetness, but you can't smell, I don't know. It's like that.
I think you can tell if something's sweet, but you can't smell sweet.
Yeah.
You know?
But it has that like a honey note you're talking about.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
It's got like, I mean, it just coats your mouth in like this herbal honey goodness, you know? So I was excited. I'm going to keep doing it. I have 5 of these and I did bourbon and rye in the Chardonnay and I did bourbon and rye in the Cab Franc and they're all single barrels. So each barrel will be dumped and bottled separately. And we put the barrel number on the bottle. Like, you know, everyone else does.
Yeah. How many blending, so the distiller picks, how often is a distiller's pick coming out?
I'm going to try and do it like 4 or 5 times a year. So like we release the cab finishes for like Christmas, like Thanksgiving, Christmas time.
Cool.
And then I did the white wines for post-Christmas and the New Year's.
So this is the most recent one then?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
This one's tasty.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. And I still have a lot of these sitting in barrels. I got 10 barrels total.
Man.
So I got 5 Chard and 5 cab. So we're going to keep releasing these, and the fun part about the single barrels is that they're all going to taste a little different.
Okay, there's something about, is there corn in this guy?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No.
That's sweet. Is that the honey then?
I think, and it's just, I think rye, as it sits and matures, it can take on a sweetness to it. It's almost like a candy. Like if you were just to take, like melt sugar down and suck on it. That's kind of like how I feel like you don't really taste.
So that sweetness.
That sweetness, yeah.
Yeah, because it's throwing me off so bad. I'm like,
the wood sugars. And yet, you know, that wine, I'm sure had some sweetness to it.
Man.
It's a Chardonnay. It's not the sweetest of wines. But
I get that little butteriness you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's subtle. Very, very light.
Yeah.
That's fun, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's throwing me off because it's like a hybrid, it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I'm going to continue on with these white wine barrel finishes. I want to get some really funky German and French white wines. But finding those barrels is...
What's that one? The Gershwin?
Yeah, exactly. Those? Yeah, I'll see if I can find some of those and just, I don't know, put some whiskey in them and see what happens.
Man, I wouldn't want to... I would drink this neat. I would never put some in my mind.
Yeah, I would
are you mixing this
suggest,
one right now?
We do have a cocktail for each of these.
What's the cocktail you're using for this one right now?
So they just changed it. I'll have to ask Aaron because Aaron knows.
He's the OG.
He's the OG.
By the way, shout out Aaron.
Yeah, thank you, Aaron.
I love that cat.
Yeah, you know what you're doing. We did for the cab, we did a New York sour.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was like, I don't really know what kind
like
of
a whiskey sour, but with that New York, I see you.
So we did, we stuck with the bourbon. We did the bourbon cab finish, with the sour, the lemon juice, egg white. And then we did like a sweet wine float on top of it.
Man, you guys have some killer cocktails, by the way.
Thank you. I don't remember what they did with this one. They did something. It's still on the menu.
This one's throwing me off so bad, man. I mean, in a good way, but
it's 95 proof too. So we kept it a little higher.
That's a big boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I like higher proof whiskeys.
So if you could do anything differently, if you were to make this again, what would that be?
On a flavor standpoint?
Yeah.
I would probably do a less spicy rye whiskey.
Less spicy rye?
Yeah, because this is a pretty spicy rye whiskey. Just to kind of make it more approachable. And I feel like a lot of that rye spice can hide a lot of the other good flavors. Because it's like a sensation that you get. And it's kind of tongue numbing. So if I were to do it again, I would do like a lower rye content rye. So I'm doing, you saw on the fermenters today, we're doing the wheated rye.
Yeah.
So something like that where it's like, it's only like 60% rye and then about 40% wheat, unmalted wheat. Wheat can add that really nice subtle, you know, note to it as well, where it's just not as offensive. I love really spicy rye whiskeys, but I think if I was to do another, you know, and change, if I could change something, I would do like a softer rye whiskey.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting like this graininess from it. Like, yeah. I can't, I mean, it's like almost husky, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting.
Yeah. She's husky one. Yeah.
So. I mean, that palate.
Yeah. It's interesting for sure. And, you know, these, I really wanted to do something for the whiskey drinkers. Again, I wanted to come out with something that complex that we could kind of get a cult following with. As opposed to just doing the norms.
I like this distiller's pick. I really do.
Yeah, and it's going to be a different barrel every time. I mean, the distiller's pick series is going to stay. It's just going to be a different barrel every single time.
I see one has an arrow and then the other one has a glass.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
on purpose?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they just changed up the labels to make them look a little different.
Man.
Yeah.
This is cool, man.
Thanks.
This is like, to me, I love that creative freedom when you have a small batch beer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my R&D comes out, or the brewer's R&D. You know, that's something that I really miss. And you're doing that with the distiller's pick. And so that's what we're talking downstairs. Hey, what are you drinking right now? And you're like grabbing this bar. Like, this is the one, because I'm having the creative freedom. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really like the Ragtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's solid. I think my favorite is the Devil's Gate. I like that one. The oakiness in that one's just beautiful.
Right.
And then the vodka, I think, was one of two vodkas that my wife was like, this is awesome. It had that little layer of sweetness in it. And then I love your gin. I got the first iteration of that.
Right. You did love the gin. I remember.
The gin was beautiful.
Yeah, we're still making it. Same recipe.
Yeah, so you're making great products, but they're the same. Like, I know when I get that gin, it's going to be the same one every time.
Yeah.
This one gives a little more difference. Every time it's going to be a different bottle.
Like, it is.
What's the distiller's mind like today?
Yeah.
And I love that, dude. Like, when I went to Colorado a few weeks ago, I saw different beers, like they were putting fucking mushrooms into beers, all these different kind of nuances ingredients, and like, I want to try that.
Uh-huh.
You know, Policy Kings, I always say Policy Kings, but they have this Nesquik one that they do. It's, you know, gimmicky, trendy, whatever.
Does it have a Nesquik branding on it?
It has Nesquik on there, dude. It's an inside and out. It's not canned, but it's on there, they have the Nesquik label.
Oh,
on the
nice.
Whole,
yeah, yeah.
Anyway. So, you know, it's fun. Is it a beer flavored beer? I don't know. I wouldn't say that, but we're talking about the 90s, right? It brings it back, man. Like, let's make it. If I saw a Tang beer, I would drink that.
You could do that. You have the power.
You know what I'm saying?
You could do it.
Would it be awesome? Would traditionalists wave their finger at me? Sure. But like, come on, it's fun.
I mean, that's, you know, and I kind of go back and forth because I'm really traditional with how I do stuff, and you can only stay so traditional. I mean, like, everyone's done everything now.
Bro, it's...
So you really have to branch out and think. And, like, these are nothing new. Like, people have been doing wine barrel finishes on whiskeys forever. But, you know, just trying to branch out and do something weird. And, yeah, the traditionalists might get upset. But there's only... I'm sure they thought it was crazy to make a wheat whiskey back in the day. I mean, every new idea sounds crazy. It's like when they come out with a brand new car. Like, look at the Cybertruck. When we saw pictures of that, we're like,
what the fuck is that?
That thing is so stupid. And then, awful. And then, you know, it just becomes a new norm. Like, we start seeing it every day, and then it just becomes something that's normal.
But that's where I think the same thing is almost close to perfection.
Yeah.
We're seeing it, and it's boring. Perfection is boring.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I like the crazy. I like the weird. That's why, look at me. Look at my hair. I don't care if it's done. Like, I mean, shit, dude.
He has beautiful hair, by the way, for those of you who don't know David.
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, it's just like, just be free. Just do what you want to do. Be creative. And like, what's in your soul? Show me. Tell me.
Yeah.
And so, Dylan, what I like about what you're doing is, this is, as a head distiller, this is what you're telling me. And I love it, dude.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Thank you. And that's kind of
hard work, dude.
What I was going for these distillers pick series, just like do weird stuff and keep it fresh and interesting.
Yeah.
Keep people looking for what we might be doing next.
Yeah.
Because if we just continue on with just bourbon whiskeys, rye whiskeys here, and those will always be our staples, but I don't know, change some stuff up.
But like, I know you can make a good vodka. Uh-huh. Clearly, I know you can make a good bourbon. And that was, you gave me your first iteration of that gin.
Yeah.
I know you can make gin,
mm-hmm.
but this is, yeah, I love this, dude.
Yeah, so we're going to continue to do this. I mean, any kind of weird, funky barrel I can find, I'm going to put whiskey in it.
What is, remind me of the owner's name of Radu and...
Radu and Katya.
Katya, what do they think about your distiller's pick?
They're stoked on it.
Because Radu, you were telling me, if I recall, he was making spirits forever.
Yeah, he was doing Palinka, like Slivovitz, like plum brandy in Romania.
So is he having any influence on this, or is he giving you complete free game?
He gives me complete free
range.
Yeah, yeah. Just to do, as long as it tastes good, that's like his thing. He's like, as long as it's
so
good.
So what does he think?
He thinks it's great.
Good.
Yeah, we're doing, these things are going well. Like we're gonna continue to do them. I feel like when you do a product and it doesn't sell that well, you're just done with it.
Have you, since you've been here at Eight Settlers, have you released a product where it hasn't done so well?
We did. Yeah, we did a barrel-aged gin. It's not that it didn't do well. It just took forever to sell.
Hmm.
Yeah, it took forever. So if I do that again, I'll change some things.
That was a learning experience, though.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But you didn't get fired. I mean, you're clearly doing something correct, right?
No, nothing like that. Pretty much everything that we've put out, we've done well with, except for that.
It just didn't go as fast as expected.
It just didn't go as fast. Like, we didn't get any negative feedback, or at least I didn't, mm-hmm. which I always tell people. It's like, just tell me if it sucks.
Right.
Like, that's all I want.
So how would you like to be approached, and how do you think people would approach you? Because as a maker as well,
uh-huh.
I mean, I can sit here and bullshit you and then behind your back be like, man, Dylan's making some, he put fucking whiskey and Chardonnay.
What an idiot.
Crazy man.
That guy's a moron.
How would you like to be approached for?
I mean, just tell me, because if I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, say like you're with, you know, you have your wife and you do something that drives her nuts. You just want her to tell you so you don't do it anymore. Like, it's simple as that.
Well, you're bringing my wife into that. If she tells me to stop doing it, it provokes me to do it more.
Okay, yeah,
so
that's true.
Do anyone else.
I guess it depends on your relationship.
But yeah, I could say.
It's just like, I want, so like, I'm one person, one palate.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is good, it could be terrible to other people.
Yeah.
And I have to find that happy medium of like, I like it and they like it. Because number one, I'm not going to sell something I don't like. Like you said earlier, all good brewers dump bad beer. Like,
yeah.
that's just what you do. And just because I like it doesn't mean they're going to like it. So if they hate it and I like it, we're not going to sell it. But if I hate it and they like it, I hate a product that I'm making. So you have to find that happy medium.
Mm.
And the only way it's I can find balance. This out is if people just say, hey, this is bad.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt my feelings.
So I've been working on this thing, and this is maybe why we're meeting today, but like, I've been working on this thing of just being honest.
Yeah.
So I remember when I took the Keto's job, I looked at the owner in the face and I said, I'm telling you right now, I am not going to start a relationship on lying. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not. Sorry. I know how to lie. I can lie. Like, I've done it before.
It's only human nature.
You probably have too.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to tell you if I fuck up. I'm going to tell you my opinion. I think it's also the Latin out of me coming. Like, I'm blunt. Like, I'm going to tell you how it is. And if you can do that to me, I would appreciate that.
Yeah, I found in this industry that's kind of how it has to work.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing you got to keep back, you got to bridle, is that ego.
Yeah.
Once you as a maker, an artist, have an ego,
yeah,
I don't want to be around you.
For sure.
You'll take yourself down.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's what I mean by being offended when people don't like your product. Not everyone's going
to
like it.
No, man. Like, it goes back to perfection. If everyone liked it, then what's the point of continuing to grow? Yeah,
exactly. And that's just what's what we need. Like, say, hey, this is bad. Don't be like, oh, it's good. And then you're like, wow, that guy sucks.
Like, I know there's a brewery in Utah, Shades. They get some crap. They make some funky beers, like you know, toothpaste beer or whatever. It's like Shamrock beer.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Spaghetti beer. That's a little much. But at the same time, like, go try it. Go have fun.
Yeah.
Like, they were having fun. They are having fun. And it's cool to get like a, everyone knows how to make a stout, an amber lager, a pilsner.
Yeah.
But like, who's made a pistachio?
Yeah, and that's...
It's fun.
That's what I mean. Just keep doing this weird stuff. We're never going to progress as an industry if we don't keep doing weird
like
stuff.
Like, you know, like we were saying earlier, you know how to make that bourbon. You know how to make that gin.
Yeah.
What else can you make? Let's show us. Be creative.
15 years ago, if they were talking about RTDs and like...
Could you imagine?
Like, no.
I think the justice system would be like, no. Everyone will be in jail if you start that.
Yeah, like why would you ever put a cocktail in preserver in a can?
Look at now.
But it's huge. Oh my God. I mean, that's the next big. I mean, even I thought so when seltzers first came out, we might have talked about this before. I thought it was going to be this big fad, like Zima, or like remember those Parrot Bay like malt liquor,
yeah,
those nasty things or wine coolers. I don't think that it's much of a fad so much anymore. It might not have the hype that it had when like White Claw really took off, but I think seltzers are probably here to stay.
I think so.
And that's just going to be a new part of the industry that people are going to consume, distribute. And I think it's going to be, I don't know. We'll see in 30
years. So for
me,
in that same vein, because you mentioned RTDs.
Yeah.
How is that affecting you and your, I guess, you're on the distilling side of the industry.
Uh-huh.
How's that affecting your industry? Like you're part of it.
People want them. Like I get asked all the time, you know, when are you going to do an RTD? What would you do for an RTD? And they're tough. And for those guys out there that make them, they kind of know. I'd have to get a canning line. I don't have a canning line currently.
You don't have space for a canning line.
No, I don't. I don't even have a bottling line. I'm still doing it by hand.
You don't have space for a bottling
line.
Yeah,
and like us distillers, like we don't really know. I've learned a lot of this from Jacob, how difficult canning lines are. Purging oxygen, you know, they break all the time. It's something that I'm not, like, I don't know too well.
Right.
And say the owner's like, hey, we want to do an RTD. We want one tomorrow. It's like, that's going to take me 6 to 8 months to, number one, develop a recipe that's can stable. Proofing it can be a pain. You have to do lab distillations on it because it dissolves solids. You can't.
Yeah, or there's a lot to it, dude.
I can send it in. I can get it on an alkalizer or like a densitometer that you can do it that way. Those things are extremely expensive. We don't have one. And then it just comes to who are we going to sell these to? I mean,
who's your market?
Yeah. And in my opinion, I know a lot of people love them for home use, but I always thought airlines could really benefit from using them. I mean, think you're on an airplane, you want a fancy cocktail. They're not going to make
it for you. Instead of pulling out like four different ingredients, just give you a can.
Yeah. And like a lot of them are really good. There's a lot of bad ones out there. They're too sweet. They're funky, but like the ones that kept it simple, they're going to do really well. And I feel like airline concert venues, they could really utilize that.
That's also a slippery slope, I think.
Yeah. It's tough to like proof these things. And like when you go to a bar, you say you order a gin and tonic, what's the alcohol content of a gin and tonic? It's going to be different at every single bar.
Yeah.
So like, where do you draw the line for what alcohol content should this be?
That's a tough discussion.
And yeah, it brings a whole new host of issues. But we're trending in that direction, so I'm probably going to have to make one eventually.
Yeah. So have you ever thought about collabing with one that does one already?
Like, yeah.
You know, is there one in the state that you like right now?
Not really. I haven't really had much of them in the state.
Hmm. Is that by just chance or laziness?
Laziness. Yeah, for sure. I drink beer. I drink a lot of beer.
What?
I love beer. Beer's like the best drink in the world. I drink beer and whiskey, so I don't really purchase just personally me. So it's not something I really branch out to.
Yeah, but the kids nowadays, they love that. They love the foofy drinks. But I also think the classics are coming back. I think whiskey's coming back.
Whiskey's always here to stay.
Yeah, and the classic beer flavors are coming back.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting palate fatigue of all these, you know, milkshake.
The crazy IPAs.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I remember growing up, we had the Red Hook. I'm from New Hampshire. We had the Red Hook Brewery. They're from Washington State, but they had a brewery in New Hampshire. And like they had like ESBs. They had a brown ale. They had like a stout. It was like all the really old traditional beers. And like that's growing up, that's like what my dad drank.
Oh, cool.
So like we didn't have those crazy IPAs. And you're right. Things are kind of trending back to more traditional.
I think so.
That's okay with me.
And that tap room vibe. I think for me, COVID really fucked this world up.
Yeah.
It was an eye-opener. A lot of us suffered.
Yeah.
A lot of us came out of it well. Some of us didn't. But we all missed one thing, and that was that social element.
Oh, yeah.
That as a society, we're social beings.
Yeah.
And we need that, like when I go look at your bar downstairs, I just want to go hang at it. And you said it earlier. You're like, I'm a bar fly. I want to be on the bar.
I'm a bar sitter.
I'm a bar sitter. That's me, too. Like, when I go to the Owl Bar, if I can't sit at the bar, I will walk out.
Yeah, it's either the bar or that fireplace spot. That's it.
Oh, shit.
We're not.
In the summer, I'll go outside because I like the deck outside. But like the bar though. I don't know what it is. Like I want to be at, I want that social, like give me a good bartender.
Yeah.
I'll sit there all day.
It's cool. Yeah. Their bartender's cool. I forget his name, but he worked at Sugar House Distillery.
Oh, Adam.
Adam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's awesome. So I always, whenever I'm there, you know, it's always something new.
Dylan Beck is his last name. Yeah. I hired him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a fun story. Jeez. It's a small Lake City we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a stint in Sugar House and he put some of his whiskey in a barrel. Mm-hmm. And I think it's literally a month ago when I told you when I went to Owl Bar with my wife.
Yeah.
So he was telling me he was going the next day to pick up, help bottle that barrel and take some home for himself.
Oh, nice.
And he came to Keto's and said hi to me right after that. And we tried it and Sweet. It was great, man. He did a great job.
Yeah.
It's been, but like seeing someone that created something, let it sit in a barrel,
yeah.
and then got to enjoy it, whether it was good or bad or the greatest or had award winning, blah, blah, blah. I love seeing someone put their heart and soul into something mm-hmm. and they love it, and them loving it so much and wanting to share that with me
yeah.
makes it taste. I don't care how many accolades it has. I don't care if it's been rated, but the fact that that person's heart and just wants my opinion,
yeah.
man, it just tastes better every time.
Yeah. Like I said, you get the opportunity to really pour your thoughts into a glass.
Yeah, dude.
What other industry can you do that? I mean, your thoughts, your soul, who you are, you can translate all of that into a spirit, a beer, a wine. You can do that.
I think the only other industry I can maybe fight for is like an art industry, as in like a medium of like painting or
yeah, right.
sculpture design or
yeah, right. For a consumable though, it's like
maybe like, a chef.
Yeah, a chef.
Like a 5-star Michelin like Big chef. Time. Like, hey, try this. This is what my vision of like this Wagyu.
Yeah, you can taste someone's personality.
Yeah.
Just because my mom always used to say, like, why does this taste so good? She'd be like, it was made with love. And I'm like, whatever.
And as cliche as that
it's
sounds,
like,
it's
true, though.
Yeah, but my grandma's bread is better than your grandma's bread.
Yeah,
why? Because my grandma's love is better than your grandma's
bread.
That's
right. Yeah. And like, I think that there is something to having a passion. Like, you can tell when people don't care by how their
you
food.
You can feel it, dude.
Yeah, you can just tell. It's bad. It's like a Man, voodoo.
What do you... Yeah. You can say all you want, but it's up to them to figure it out, dude. Yeah. I mean, it's burnout's real.
Burnout is big, yeah.
When it comes to either working too much or it comes to just like passion burnout,
mm-hmm.
it's sad because we've lost some great people, but also some people have stepped away and they came back. And I don't know if they've come back harder and better, but like...
Yeah. It's tough. It's one of those industries that you have to love to stay in it.
Yeah.
You can't not. I mean, you run a productive facility and every day is... It's not a struggle, but it's just new, and you're just every day is a learning process.
Yeah, so it's different coming from a smaller venue to a production facility, and I needed to do that to grow. Like you were saying, I don't know how to package. I have no idea. All we had a 4-head bottle filler.
Yep.
It was pretty simple. We never got that honed in all the way, mm-hmm. right? That's all I did. That's all we did. But running, 92 cans a minute is way different. I can do the best. I can make the best recipe of all time. I can brew it to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
I can ferment it or let it ferment the best. I can condition it.
Yeah.
But if we fuck it up on the can line, the whole thing's ruined.
Big time.
And it sucks because I've learned some valuable lessons in the past 7 months.
Yeah.
Valuable lessons.
Absolutely.
But I had to, man. I had to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's cool. I'm excited for you to learn that process because you need that in your repertoire.
For sure.
I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's what the kind of on the RTD thing. It's like, it's a new thing that we're just going to have to figure out.
Yeah. But it will be difficult, homie, but like it's worth it.
Oh yeah. It's fine. It's going to be fine.
Oh yeah. I mean, everything's fine.
If any of us were afraid of something, we wouldn't be doing what we were doing now.
Yeah. Fear is what holds us back.
Yeah. This like this whole, running a distillery, running a brewery, you just have to say, screw it. We're just going to do it.
By the end of the day, dude, it's just beer. It's just spirits. Like, it's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, absolutely. It's, yeah, we're just
I mean,
we're just
if someone told me, hey, I need you to do some heart surgery real quick, I'd be like, nope.
No, I'm good.
But hey, can you try making this, RTD? Yeah, I'll make a stab at it.
Yeah, we'll try. Yeah, we'll try.
Looking for the ultimate brew pub experience in Sugar House? Well, look no further than Hopkins Brewing Company. It's not just about them. It's about you and the unforgettable moments you'll create there. Picture yourself surrounded by a vibrant atmosphere with a constantly rotating selection of beautiful craft brews. From live music to trivia nights, there's always something happening to keep the fun going. And let's talk about the food. Indulgent burgers, savory appetizers, and irresistible desserts await to tantalize your taste buds. Plus, here's something special for you. Use the code TASTEMASTERS at the end of your meal to enjoy an exclusive 10% discount on all food items. So why wait? Gather your friends and join the community at Hopkins Brewing Company for an experience crafted in your mind. See you there. Are you ready to elevate your coffee experience? Introducing Kings Peak Coffee Roasters, where passion meets precision. Crafted by artists who understand the essence of human connection and culture, their consciously sourced specialty-grade coffee beans are meticulously roasted to perfection right here in Salt Lake City. Experience the difference with Kings Peak Coffee Roasters. Elevate your mornings, elevate your days, visit their website, or stop by their cafe today. Kings Peak Coffee Roasters, opened every day, they promise every sip is worth it. See you guys at Kings Peak.
Hey, you're pouring this one. This one's a Chardonnay or Cabernet.
This is the cab. This is the bourbon cab. So we did the rye Chardonnay previous. We're going to do the bourbon Cab Franc.
So this one, is this your house bourbon or is it a different kind of bourbon?
This is Devil's Gate.
This is
it's
Devil's Gate just sitting in Cabernet.
Same
huh?
thing as Devil's Gate, yeah.
So I'm probably gonna like this one.
I hope so. But you get, it's crazy tannic in a good way. It's got a lot going on. The color is kind of insane. We were running this through, three or four filters before we got some good clarity on it. Just because of the lees. Lees alone, it was like sand.
I mean, look at that. That's fucking raspberry juice.
It is, yeah. And it's got some jammy wine notes. It's super dry at the same time. Cab Franc's a pretty dry wine.
I love Cab Franc, dude.
Yeah, it's killer. And I went with the bourbon. I went with the opposite of
the rye whiskey.
With the rye.
Yeah.
Really, really dry whiskey into kind of like a fruitier, more wholesome wine. So I went with the sweeter of the spirits into like the drier wine. So I just kind of did the opposites on the both.
Yeah.
But I still did a rye in the cab. I just feel like the bourbon kind of poked out better than the rye did. Kind of like the rye poked out better than the bourbon did.
When did you do the rye in the cab?
When this got released Christmas, but it sat in the barrel.
But this isn't the rye. You said you did a rye in the cab.
I did a rye cab too. Same time.
Oh shit.
I dumped them one day apart. Dumped them, cool. Bottled them.
So there's bottles available of that too?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so there's four total products out for the.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because I kind of wanted to give people the choice of bourbon or rye in that same barrel finish. I wanted to leave it up to them because some people love bourbon, some people love rye, and I didn't want to just like, hey, did a rye Chardonnay. No, we also did a bourbon Chardonnay, or we also did a, bourbon cab.
Okay,
and a
that's
rye
cool.
Cab.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yep.
Cheers, homie.
Yeah, cheers, man.
Salud. Appreciate you.
This one's interesting in the best of ways. It like, it's got some really, really dead earth to it. Like almost like decaying leaves almost.
Decaying leaves. I mean, once you said that.
Yeah.
Like death.
Death in a good way. Yeah.
In a good way.
It's like fall. It reminds me of being a kid, walking around the woods in the fall time. And you kind of smell like the minerality of the water in the air.
Yeah.
And like that, the moist earth. That's kind of like what this reminded me of.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
That was deep. This, I feel like this one hit harder in your memory bank than the other one did.
It did, yeah. Yeah, this was like, we were taking it out of the barrel. All I could think of, it's like, being a kid, I'm sure, you grew up in Utah, you swam. Like, you didn't grow up in the middle of nowhere. When you jump into, like, a really, not like gross pond, but like an old pond or like an old lake, and you get some water up your nose.
Yeah.
And you can kind of smell the minerals in the water. You can kind of smell the water. That's kind of what this reminded me of.
It's funny you say that because my memory that invoked for me was we used to live in North Carolina and we were in this cul-de-sac and you said fall.
Yeah.
A lot of the trees fell over, during that time, but after it rained, like that fall after rain smell.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. My mom moved to North Carolina a couple of years ago and first time I went there, I got off the plane, walked out of the airport. I'm like, holy shit, it smells like New England. Like it just has that different smells, different areas of the world, but that's what I got from this. It's like a really nostalgic whiskey to me.
It is. I would like to see how this ages, actually.
Yeah.
Because the nose, you get those jammy notes.
Yeah.
But they're not muted. What's the word? That sweetness isn't in the taste, but the flavor is. Mm-hmm. You still get that jamminess, but when I say jammy, you wouldn't expect like a preservative, a jelly.
Yeah, right. But, it's got a killer wine nose, and then it just kind of, you get that really... That dry.
Yeah, I enjoy this. Huh? Well done, homie.
Thanks.
God.
Yeah. So this was fun for, we had a bottle of this after Thanksgiving dinner. And it was like an aperitif almost. Like it's got a lot going on. It kind of settles your stomach. Again, it's, I don't know why it's so nostalgic for me, because smell is like the biggest component of nostalgia, I feel like. You know, when you walk, you're like walking around maybe downtown, or like you just catch a whiff of something and you remember what that was.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm. But like you don't remember where it was from. Like your brain can't make the connection, but you know that smell.
But that signal is firing. You're like, I've had this signal fire before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of, I haven't really had that like feeling from anything that I've ever
made. Dude, I'm not, maybe because we're talking about, but this one's making me emotional.
Oh, the emotional.
You know, like it's invoking emotions. And
yeah,
it's really
cool.
Yeah,
it was, that's wow, just kind of what it did. It kind of, I don't know what it was. Maybe the lees that was left in there. You know, there's a lot of plant material that's left in the barrel. So
I feel like it's the most organic product you've given me.
Yeah, yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah,
man, this one's, you know who I think would like this? Alan over at Water Pocket.
He would?
Because this is something that he tries to invoke in all his spirits. He does stuff like this. All his spirits have this intricate, like, memory pulling element. And that's what you just did to me, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, it kind of just, like, takes you back to, you know, in the, like, this is how I am, especially with spirits. Like I said, I drink a lot of beer, but I drink a lot of whiskey too. I don't drink a lot of whiskey. I'll have a couple glasses a week.
We know you're an alcoholic. Everyone, Dylan's an alcoholic. Yeah. He drinks.
I'm a booze bag. Get out of here. Yeah. So when you go home after a long day of work, and you know, you get to sit down and finally enjoy your time.
Yeah.
And you know, it's quiet around you. You can just pour a glass of whiskey and just sit there and just enjoy it. Mm. And this is one of those whiskeys that will do that. Like you can kind of forget where you are in the moment.
I love that.
Whiskey gives you an outer body experience. Yeah. It makes you relax. I mean, that's why we consume, most of us, that's why we consume alcohol, just to relax.
I learned that lesson, you know, I feel like the hard way, but in a good way, not like the most dangerous way, but you need to taste, you drink to taste, not drink to drink.
Yeah, I always said being drunk is a side effect of enjoying good spirits. Mm. Like that's just what happens. Like I never drink to get drunk, but sometimes like, it just like, oh shit, I just had too much.
Yeah, I overserved myself.
Like I don't, there's no like, I'm getting wasted tonight. But, you know, it just, it's what happens.
But with that mentality, that's where maybe you got to have a conversation with yourself, right?
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being drunk is definitely a side effect of enjoying good beer, wine, spirits. That's how it's always been. So yeah, this one, it's like a special notes to it.
Yeah, that graininess isn't like, because the rye, you really picked up like that husky material, like that rye, that gumminess, if you will.
Sure,
This one's way more clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, the nose is just throwing me off. Cause
you
feel
can just pick, you, yeah, you can, I still do pick it apart all day. I just let it sit in the glass. I mean, even just, you know, pour yourself a few ounces and let it sit, drink it over an hour or two. And then the rye version is very different too. It's like the bourbon, it doesn't taste identical to the rye, and they never are because like I said, they're single barrels. So next time I dump a bourbon barrel or a wine barrel that had bourbon in it, it's not going to taste like this.
Damn.
It'll be similar, obviously, but it's not going to be.
I think I enjoy, this one's probably the one that invoked the most. They're both good. I love them.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, so this is kind of what I've been working on.
This is fun, Dylan. This is what you've been up to the past few years?
Yeah, this and other stuff. I've been doing a lot of wheated bourbon, too. I've been making a bunch of that, a bunch of malt whiskey still. I've been doing a high rye content. This is all sitting in the warehouse still. High rye content bourbon. I just recently bottled a Tangelo flavored vodka.
So we're going to the flavored vodka game, huh?
We're going to get in the flavored vodka game.
So using extracts, are you doing it naturally?
So we purchased, this was kind of a pain because I feel like I chose the fruit that's like impossible to get. We purchased like 350 pounds of Tangelos from Texas. And we sat there and we peeled every single Tangelo, me and Jacob. Our little fingers
were... Were you wearing your PPE? Got in your eye.
Jacob was. we sat there and we just withered our little fingers away and took us 2 days to peel all the Tangelos. And we had to get the uppermost part of the peel. If you get the pith, which is like that white part between the actual fruit and...
Oh, shit. So you didn't just peel them off. You had to like go and cut that white shit off.
We just tucked that upper layer.
You just want the peel itself.
Just that very, very top. That's where most of the oils are going to hang out. So, it took us like 2 days to peel. We threw all of those peels in muslin bags and then popped it into the still, let it macerate with vodka for like 2 days. And then we just ran. We took the Tangelos out. We took the bag out. And then, you know, ethanol, the wonderful solvent that it is, did its work. Stripped all those oils off the Tangelos. And we just distilled that. So there was no like post distillation flavoring. It was all, it was, it's like how you distill like a macerated gin. You just, you put your ingredients in, let it macerate, let it do its thing. And then when you distill, it all comes over to the receiver.
When is that available for the public, for us to enjoy?
So hopefully soon. We're still waiting on labels. I'm hoping within the next few weeks.
Awesome.
It's already bottled. I just have to label it.
Yeah. And you had, I learned today that you hand label and cork every single bottle.
We do.
You're basically touching every bottle that goes out.
Yes. I have touched every single bottle that has ever left this facility.
I mean, look, I'm looking at this right here. It's a bottling 550, bottle number 67. Like that's,
yeah.
You're literally, you're probably handwriting those too.
Jacob does that. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Jacob handwrites on everything. I'm the one that throws the label on. But like I said, if we move, we can get through 1,000 bottles a week. It's like 2 pallets.
Wow. That's
which
a
is
lot.
Like, if you, you know, people who have automated lines, semi-automatic lines, like, oh, we do that in 2 hours. And yeah, I wish I could.
Yeah, trust good me. For you.
Yeah, trust me. I wish I could. But that's, but
that's why I like the craft, what you're doing, is because it's more, there's something about going like, my wife and I went to Italy or Mexico and we find like those small handcrafted spirits or beers or like family owned. Like, the love wasn't just made into the product, but the packaging too. People take that for granted.
Big time.
Like, we're going to hand package it. Sure, it takes a lot of time, but like the fact that it's just you two packaging all this together by yourselves, like.
Yeah, yeah. We sit there and we'll listen to music, throw on a podcast, you know, and we'll just kind of bang it out. And like once you get into the groove of it, like it feels like you look over and you're like, oh, we're done that palette.
Right.
Yeah, and we can only do it for so long too. Like label days, they get tough. Like you look at the clock and you're like, oh no, it's only one. I was done like an hour ago.
Yeah, but holding each of these, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, that's it. That's the product we're putting out there.
I think I've labeled.
It's kind of vulnerable, dude.
Every single bottle that we've ever put out over the past 4 years. So.
Man, congrats on 4 years though, dude.
Thanks, man. Yeah. It's been a wild ride.
But has it been worth it? If you look back when we first met, like,
oh, it's worth it. It's been a blur in a good way. Like, it's just been, it's shot by.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of changes since I last was even here.
Yeah, yeah, we've updated the restaurant, the upstairs, quite a bit. We got new furniture. We got a bunch of plants.
I like that aesthetic, by the way.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We're ever changing. So, yeah, the Tangela Vodka is going to come out.
That's exciting, man. What are you going to call it? Is it going to be just like the flavored butler? What's it going to be?
So, it's called First Harvest.
Cool.
That's the name of the label, Tangela Flavored Vodka.
Nice. So then if you're niching to just Tangelo, are you just going to always do Tangelo?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be like a rotating fruit series?
We could do that. That's not a bad idea. Never thought about that. This is why we sit down and talk with each other. This is how ideas are made.
Like minds, right?
That's right. He's going to do a Tang flavored beer.
You do a Tangelo.
Tangelo. Yeah, yeah. I did a lot of, when we were kind of figuring out, because Katya came to me probably over the course of 5 months. She's like, I really want to do a flavored vodka. I really, really want to do a flavored vodka. And I said, you know, okay, yeah, well, I'll think of something. And I kind of settled on doing something citrus because it is really easy to naturally flavor something with citrus as opposed to like
boysenberry or raspberry, strawberry.
Yeah, those things might not do well.
Cinnamon, maybe?
Cinnamon, yeah, cinnamon would be, I think you can probably macerate it pretty easy. How it does, because when you're heating that pot up, you're changing things. Like as you heat things up, they could molecularly change. They could taste different from like some things you want to post flavor. Like you do your distillate, then you flavor it. So that flavor stays fresh. The moment you add heat, it could completely change it.
Mm.
So I don't know how cinnamon, I'm sure it'd be fine. I mean,
only a few ways to find out.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to throw a bunch of vanilla bean in the pot with vodka, how would that taste on the other end of things? I don't know. So I stuck with citrus because I know it works well.
So why Tangelos versus like a lemon or lime or orange or grapefruit or passion fruit?
I went to Jacob and I spent like a whole day. We drove around to like all of the grocery stores and like buying all the citrus. We bought a bunch of, the one thing we couldn't find, which bugs Jacob, is Meyer lemon. Like we could not find a Meyer lemon to save our lives. We went to Whole Foods, natural grocers. We went to Sprouts. We went to Smith's. We couldn't find Meyer lemon. So we bought like a bunch of lemons. We got clementines. We got grapefruits. We got, what else did we get? Citrus.
Limes.
We bought limes.
Key limes.
And I basically did a maceration of each product. And then I let them sit for a couple days. Like I think it was over a weekend. We did it like Friday and then we came in Monday and then I lab distilled each one. And then the best tasting one was the Tangelo.
By far, it sounds like.
It tasted the best. It carried the best. And we also did some elderflower. We did some like lemon Tangelo with some elderflower in it, or like we did like lemon grapefruit with rosemary in it.
Oh, interesting.
So we did, we did all kinds of stuff like that just to try and I don't even know. It was a nightmare. We had like 20 different sample jars of all of these things. And I remember sitting there going, we're never going to figure this out. I don't know. Cause it's gotta be, I didn't want to settle on just do one thing and then screw it up. Be like, why didn't we
trial and error, R&D this shit.
Why didn't we just and it took us 3 months. Why didn't we take our time, spend our time and really R&D. And that's what we did.
Good.
So, I do want to continue on maybe figuring out more of some herb infusions too, but
for vodka?
Yeah, for vodka. But I told you, it's going to your grandma's house. It's it just smells like potpourri.
What's wrong with my grandma's loves better than your grandma's love? We just talked about
this. Yeah, we did, but maybe people don't want to taste my grandma's house, and that was what that's I was, know? Is it, are people going to open this up and be like, this tastes like hand soap? Or you know, when you wash your hand, whatever that, my girlfriend buys it, the hand soap, the natural hand soap, whatever it is.
Oh, I got you a doctor or something.
Yeah,
Dr.
T or something like that. And I didn't want people to think of that when they were drinking it. No, so that's why I settled on, we're not doing herbs. We're not doing spices.
We're not there yet.
No, we're not there. We still need to figure this out. Do we do fresh? Do we do, dried? How do we figure this out? So just the Tangelo peel alone, the Tangelo lemon that we did was also amazing. We were down to Tangelo lemon peel or just Tangelo peel. We just settled on the Tangelo peel. And crazy for us, because of last year's winter, everyone's harvest was late. So we had to wait 4 months in order to get that many fresh Tangelo.
350 pounds of Tangelos.
It was nine boxes of them.
Out of Texas, you said, right?
Texas. Hmm. It's either Texas, Florida, or Georgia were the ones that, because they harvest in January, December to January, but they were kind of late this year. Hmm. So we didn't get them for a while, but we finally got them.
So this is a recent project then.
Yeah, I just did this. Wow. Yeah. The moment they got dropped off, I did the distillation the next day. We just immediately got right into it. I canceled, erased my whiteboard schedule, and we just did this vodka just to get it in bottles and get it done.
Right.
Just to move on, because I was always just waiting. So now it's done. We just need to wait for labels.
I'm excited for it. You can text me when that happens, because I want to come try that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Absolutely, man. We can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bring the wife here, because... You bet your ass. We got some cool footage today.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Man, this place is dope, dude.
Thanks, man. Thanks. It's been...
You're doing a great job, man. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for continuing to be passionate. I know you've been grinding your ass off for the past few years. I mean, when we first met, man, I feel like you were under fire in a good way. Yeah. It was just grind, because you had to put everything together. It was grind. But you stuck with it. And look at you, man. You feel more comfortable.
I'm more relaxed now, because
you got a rhythm. You got systems in place.
Yeah, that's what I didn't have before. And, it wasn't just trying to get good things into barrels and into bottles, but it's you're trying to build a brand.
Yeah. And that's where, I guess, I look at you, people like you as an example, because I'm in that same kind of trench.
You're trying to.
It's patience, man. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's self-love. I got to remind myself, hey, you don't know everything, homie.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You got to have confidence.
Some days I do.
Yeah, you really
depends on my hair day. You can judge me based on my hair day. If it's in a man bun, or in a hat, I've given up that day.
when my hat's off, I'm done. When I take my hat off and I'm just walking around and I have I don't know, my shit's all untucked, you know, just disheveled.
How come I don't see you around Salt Lake anymore?
Me?
Yeah, I never run into you anymore. I used to run into you all the time.
I don't know, man. I don't really hang out because I live in Camas now.
Yeah, I mean, I live in Utah. I get you.
I know, it's just
if I go to PC, I'll hit you up.
Yes, because that's a good meeting point for me, because everyone, me and my girlfriend Hillary, we most of her friends and a good number of my friends are in Salt Lake, and that's a good meeting point because it's 20 minutes up the canyon, and I'm about 20 minutes from downtown PC.
Okay.
So, and I'm my thing is too, is if I come down to SLC and I drink a bunch, there's no way I can drive back.
No chance.
There's no way I'm pulling that.
So. We gotta figure this out then. If I go to PC, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Because I know the missus and I are gonna go up there for a random Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
But I'm waiting for the ski people to leave.
Yeah.
I avoid the resorts during the ski.
You should. I avoid PC at all costs when I can't. I mean, spring break just happened.
And, oh God, no, thank you.
And like, you know, when I have friends in town, they're like, "Let's go downtown PC," and I'm like, "Well, there's like a $20 cover." At like, that.
So this time of year, I worry about my friend Nils.
Oh, like, Nils at
Wasatch, yeah. Park City, or I guess Salt Lake Brewing Company. No, what the hell did they change name to? Something,
the
something,
co-op of some sort.
Something, 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 yeah. Of Main Street of something, something. Anyway, this time of year, I always worry about Nils. I know I'm thinking of two things. One, he's either buried under like 50 feet of snow, mm-hmm. or he's enjoying being on top of the 50 feet of snow right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, one of the two.
And so basically, I don't see Nils from like November to March. I'm like, he's not dead to me, but it's like, he's probably either dead or having fun.
Yeah.
And then, but I like my PC crew. I mean, you got great shit out there. You got, you know, Park City, Offset, mm-hmm. Producing great stuff. Yeah. I mean, Park City's, and then you got Heber Valley just down the road.
Yeah.
I love that place.
I pop in there quite often too.
Oh, man. It's Clint Jones, man.
Yeah.
But then you have OTC Winery too. They got some good ass wine.
Yeah, they do.
I think Steve is doing a great job over there.
Yeah, they've been open for quite a while. How long have they been open now for?
Well, they just reopened recently.
Yeah, they had that flood.
Yeah, so then after the flood, it's been about a year now.
Completely flooded that place.
Oh, man, the poor guys. But
I know.
They fixed it, and it's if you want a high-end quality tasting and experience, go to OTC.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of local guys up there that, I mean, I was talking to you about Helper Brewing.
Yeah. Get out there, dude.
Yeah, I have to, because I do love that. That's why I love the Owl Bar, because they always have, they like rotate, like it's one of the few places you can get like canned Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're always rotating like what Fisher they have or what Helper that they have over there.
Right.
And I love their beer. I've never been. I've driven by it.
I jokingly say this. The beer is good. Mm-hmm. The pizza's better.
Is the pizza good
Just
there?
Because I like getting Jaren shit because his wife makes the pizza.
Yeah.
And she does it by hand.
Oh, nice.
And she does this one that has...
See, it's made with love.
It's made with love. It's made with Amy love.
Like, that's right.
That's Helper Beer is made with Helper love, too.
Yeah.
But that pizza, man. I don't know. The pizza and beer go hand in hand.
That's it's just right. Like,
so they have one called... Amy, I'm so sorry I'm going to ruin this. I think it's called Teleski sauce.
Okay.
It's like this special blend that I'm not going to tell you the secret about, right? It's a special blend of sauce that makes that pizza pop. And then when you take a traditional Jaren-made Helper beer... Bro, like Helper is the spot to be at.
Mm-hmm.
The caveat to the whole thing is they're out in the middle of nowhere. But it's, when you go to Moab, you can't not stop there. You have to stop there. It's right off the exit, left-hand side, can't miss it. Boom.
Right.
That's and good. There's a gas station right across the street. So if you need gas, boom.
It's a new spot. I would always go to Ray's. You ever been to Ray's Tavern in Green River?
I love Ray's Tavern. I used to, yeah.
Oh, man. That was like.
I always get a burger there.
That was like the spot. And now it's like we have Helper, which I need to stop and go hang out.
So get beer and pizza.
Yeah.
And then one time get a burger at Ray's.
Go to Ray's. That place is awesome.
Ray's is good. I wish they had better craft beer selection.
They have Budweiser, I think.
And they only had some Squaws and Wasatch down there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So they had some, you know, Wasatch, but.
Man. Yeah.
But Moab needs a better beer scene. I know Proper just moved down there. Proper.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Yeah. So that Proper, they have good Proper beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Moab Brewing? Oh, man, I don't know what's going on with that.
I don't know. I haven't had Moab beer in a lot. When I first moved to Utah, I drank a lot of Johnny's IPA.
Everyone did.
Yeah.
And Dead Man or Dead Horse?
Dead Horse, the Amber Ale.
But now it's like, what's going on? I don't know. I wish them the best, dude.
I haven't stopped in
there. I'd like
to
talk to anyone from over there.
I haven't had any of their beer
in
a long time.
Moab needs
a refresh.
Igniting, right? Yeah. Ignites. What's the word?
You're right.
Is it igniting?
Yeah, just like a little fire.
Someone needs to get on their ass.
You guys need to figure it out.
Figure your shit out. No, Dylan, I appreciate you taking your precious Saturday hang out with me.
Of course, man.
Showing
always
me
fun.
And my friends around.
Of course.
Dude, I'm excited. Even a few years ago, I was excited to see what you were doing, what you can become. Mm-hmm. And dude, you're barely scratching the surface, man. Like you're still kicking ass. You still have that passion.
Yeah.
And you're looking great. Like you're doing it, man.
Yeah. It's one of those industries. I tell people this all the time. You could be doing this for 60 years and you still learn things. Like this is a never ending process of producing spirits and beer too. Like you're every day is a new day. You're constantly learning things. There's new technique. There's old technique that you never even knew about.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that's amazing. I'm not coming in, clocking in, processing a spreadsheet and leaving for
the
day.
Sad.
Like, yeah, there's a sense of fulfillment with it that you constantly learn. Like, I don't know everything at all. I'm just scratching the surface. I've been doing this for a long time now, but I still don't really know.
But you're
anything.
A humble student. If you can continue that, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, that's just how you need to see it. Like I don't care if you've been in this industry for 60 years in Scotland, like you're still learning things.
Oh, for sure.
Like there's
the second you think you don't.
Yeah, you're still done. You're still trying to figure it out, and that's what we're all doing together. So that's why this community is awesome. That's why Tastemasters is awesome. This kind of brings us together. David, you give us a voice that we might not have had before. Like we Thanks, always honey. Have a voice, but we get to talk about what we do yeah. with someone who also does it.
Yeah, it's fun that I do also happen to be doing it as well. You know, I'm in the trenches as well, and I understand it.
Yeah, that's
the
best part.
I like that point of view.
It's the best part.
What I'm trying to do more is I want to get a collect. Like beginning of the year, I sat down with there's 6 brewers at one table.
Yeah,
and I want to do that with distillers. I want to get like 6-8 distillers at one table. I want to get cider makers at one table. And then I want to do an episode where there's distillers, cider makers, and beer makers.
Yeah.
Like, we need to talk. And I'm trying to help bridge that gap. But like, let's just keep the conversation going. Like, anytime you need a product, if I have extra corn, come ask me, dude. Like, I swear to God, at least once a week, I'm getting asked by some brewery or sometime, rarely, a distillery. Like, hey, do you have this and this? We need some help. Absolutely.
That's the best part about it.
Or no, I know where you can go get it. And that's what's the biggest blessing in this whole thing.
It really is. We're such a community.
Yeah.
Like, I love how we can cross over between spirits and beer.
Yeah, dude.
We make beer, but it's just a different beer.
Yeah, I say you make bland beer. You guys make bland beer.
We do, yeah. I opened my fermenter today and David had a heart attack.
Yeah, I had to walk away.
He's like, I can't see that. Don't open it to the air.
It looked great. I'm glad that's what my fermentation looked like.
Yeah. That's what
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what your fermentation looks like. Yeah, you can even reach in and grab some. You're not going to ruin
Stop
it.
Stop right there. Yeah. Now you're stepping over.
Yeah, you can sneeze in it.
Oh, I hate you so much. But Dylan, thank you so much for
you're
today.
You're welcome, man.
Appreciate that. And keep in touch, please. Yeah,
absolutely, man. Yeah.
See you in like 2 more years.
Yeah. No, let's hope not. Yeah, no.
Okay. Yeah. Well, until the next beverage, my friend.
Cool, man.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks.
Been another episode of the Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, Twitter at @the_Tastemasters, or on Facebook as the Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.